on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The gunman in yesterday's shooting at a Dollar General store in Jacksonville, Florida, has been identified as 21-year-old Ryan Christopher Palmeter. Sheriff T.K. Waters says Palmeter was a legal gun owner.
They were 100% legal. And as I stand here with you today, they were legally possessed.
Sheriff Waters says Palmeter, who killed three black people before killing himself, telegraphed what he was going to do.
At 1:18, the suspect texts his father and says, "Use a screwdriver to get into my room." The father enters the room and finds a last will and testament of the suspect along with a suicide note on his laptop.
The victims are 52, 19, and 29 years old. The FBI is investigating their killings as a federal hate crime. Three U.S. Marines have been killed and several injured when their Osprey helicopter went down during a training exercise in northern Australia.
Australian officials are working with the U.S. Defence Force personnel as they reach out to family members and also start the probe into the cause of the crash.
Reporter Scott Maiman in Canberra. The Russian government says DNA testing confirms Wagner military chief Yevgeny Prigozhin was among those killed in Wednesday's crash of a private plane. Former CBS News Moscow bureau chief Beth Noble says Prigozhin's death was not seen as a big surprise.
Prigozhin had led that armed mutiny against the Russian military back in June, which was widely seen as an act of treason against Prigozhin's longtime friend, Russian President Vladimir Putin. Challenging President Putin so directly definitely put Prigozhin's life in danger.
Extreme heat in Texas is once again straining the state's power grid, leading to a call to conserve energy. Reporter Chris Fox has more from Austin.
With temperatures expected to top out around 110 degrees, ERCOT, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, is calling for all residents and businesses to reduce energy use between 4 p.m. and 9 this evening. The grid operator claims expected low wind and potential low solar generation will once again challenge grid stability. It's the fourth consecutive day for the conservation call. So far this summer, Texas has set 10 all-time records for energy use.
COVID cases are picking up across the country, fueled by summer gatherings and travel. Some people are concerned. Some, not so much.
I'm not so worried about going to closing down or wearing masks or any of that. More worried about if there's a new strain or if there's something that becomes very contagious that a lot of people are getting sick.
So far, the number of cases are lower than previous summer or winter outbreaks, but the steady climb has led to more hospitalizations in recent weeks. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Reports on electric vehicle sales are mixed. Mike Moan spoke with analysts who say electric vehicle sales trends are encouraging.
Wisconsin has lagged behind other states in electric vehicle registrations, with data showing it ranks 35th in the nation. But the Wisconsin Policy Forum notes that registrations have increased on average by nearly 52% each year over the past decade. As for reports of high inventories, Chris Hardo of Consumer Reports says the estimates exclude EV-only dealers and that their inventories are well below the industry average. Hardo acknowledges that higher interest rates might eventually put a dent in sales of all vehicles, but he says it hasn't happened yet. Customers are still snatching up cars that were hard to find when the pandemic was crippling supply chains. And he says the public remains intrigued by the EV market.
Our surveys to date have showed a pretty significant chunk of the American car buying public who are interested in buying electric vehicle are curious about buying electric vehicle.
It's just an open question of when a lot of these consumers will take the plunge as more EV models come on board. Hardo's analysis finds that 70% of EV sales this year are from just 9 models, all of which have a starting price under $45,000 when factoring in incentives. That's below the average new vehicle price. He suggests those models can be competitive sales-wise, as opposed to higher-priced luxury EVs. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Find our rate trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Hi, I'm Emily from Weikert Realtors Lake Point in Madison. Your home, your property, your decision. At Weikert Realtors Lake Point, we'll guide you every step of the way, whether you're buying or selling a home or exploring commercial property. Your dream is within reach. You'll find our realtors love what they do, and more importantly, we think it's fun helping our clients achieve their goals. Who wouldn't want to do that every day? Give me a call at 608-721-8002. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, 2045 Atwood Avenue. Find more info at weikert-lakepoint.com.
This episode of Eye on Travel is brought to you by Viking, providing all-inclusive voyages on rivers, oceans, and lakes around the world. Designed for curious travelers with interest in science, history, culture, and cuisine. Viking chairman Torsten Hagen often says, Viking offers experiences for the thinking person, with no children and no casinos on board. Learn more at Viking.com. That's Viking.com.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. It's Civic Media.
Hi, this is Lou Ann Bird, and you're listening to Bird on a Wire, where we are having conversations about hope, civility, and action. Thank you for listening on the Civic Media Network. Everyone, and welcome to Bird on a Wire. I'm Lou Ann Bird, your host for this podcast, along with Civic Media. We are here in my lovely backyard, and my guest is Tanya Atkinson, who is the executive director and CEO of Planned Parenthood Wisconsin. So the issue tonight is going to be women's rights. So let's talk about women's rights. Tanya and I go back a long ways.
We go back a long ways. I am so excited to be here. I'm like really excited. It's nice to see you. We go back about 20 years.
In Oshkosh.
Yeah.
When I was running for public office. I wasn't even running yet.
No.
We were just getting together because we were concerned about women's issues.
Right. So.
And I can remember sitting around in, you know, the living room with a bunch of women from Oshkosh. And I think at the time we were worried about abortion rights for teenagers was on the
chopping block at that time.
And then what else
compassionate
was it?
Care for rape victims was a big one.
Yeah.
As well. I think that was the Oshkosh group that you belong to really took the issue and ran.
Yeah, they did.
Which was critical. So,
they did. So then I never would have thought we'd be where we are today.
No, me neither.
So tell us about what you're doing and... I may have questions for you.
All right. I would love it if you'd ask me questions.
Of course. Of course.
I'm very, very happy to be here. If you don't mind, what I would love is just starting out by telling people about Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin.
Yes.
And what we do.
Yes.
And the services that we provide, the education that we do. Planned Parenthood Wisconsin has 22 health centers across the state of Wisconsin. And we provide a very wide range of reproductive healthcare services. Anybody can go to our website at www.ppwi.org. That website again, ppwi.org, to find in more detail. But I'll share a few of the services that we've learned over time that people aren't as familiar with. So, of course, people are familiar with, birth control, STD testing and treatment. We do, well person exams, PAPs and, the exams a lot of people are familiar with. We have a lot of services that we realize people are not as familiar with. So, we have a wide range of cancer prevention and intervention services. So, we do breast and cervical cancer screenings. We also provide colposcopies and LEAPS. Colposcopies and LEAPS are the next two steps if somebody has an abnormal PAP results. So that's what those are. We also do a number of biopsies when people are in and if it's indicated. We provide the HPV vaccination. And then we also do testicular screening as indicated. So there's a wide range of cancer prevention and intervention work that we do. We serve men, or people who are assigned male at birth, depending on, somebody's gender identity. A lot of people don't know that. And we're seeing more and more, over time. Main service, STD testing, would be the main service. We have recently expanded our services to include gender affirming hormone therapy. And that's available at all the health centers across the state, as well as via telehealth, which is another service that we have that a lot of people don't know about. We have a very, very large telehealth program. We can send, people's contraceptive method through the mail. Every contraceptive method except for a LARC, which is a long acting reversible contraceptive. The most common one people know are IUDs, right? So we can send people right to their front door, that access. So somebody can jump onto telehealth and receive, did that to reduce barriers, to accessing care. And then our most recent service that we added was vasectomy services at our Water Street Health Center in Milwaukee. So wow. those are the services that we provide, the healthcare services we provide. Exceptional team of people, great leaders, great medical leadership that we have on our team. And then, of course, we also provide a lot of education services across the state. So that ranges from, we have a very large professional education conference every year where they offer continuing education credits for different professions, to direct education with young people in schools or group homes or, wherever the need is. And then the last thing I will mention, is that we have a very large Spanish speaking health promoter program. And that's also statewide. So lay promotores, they're leaders in their community. We provide information and, a training program and, support, and the program they co-created with the Medical College of Wisconsin. And when I say co-created, like I'm talking sleeves rolled up, sitting at tables, co-creating this curriculum. And that has been, that then they're about to celebrate their 20th anniversary, which I'm super excited about. So that's a real big picture view, but I'm happy to dig in on anything you want to dig in on.
Number one, what does it cost to use your service?
Oh, that's an excellent question. Well, we don't turn anybody away. So let's start there. The vast majority of our patients, have Medicaid. Some form of Medicaid is their form of insurance. And if people don't have insurance, they should still come in anyway, because we can work with folks to, if they are eligible for insurance, help sign them up. We take all forms of insurance, right? So all of those would ultimately be, covered under whatever the insurance is, right? Okay. And then we also, have a patient assistance program. So for anybody who isn't eligible for any form of insurance, we have a fund, where we can provide the services at a 75%, reduced cost. And then we can even set up a payment plan. So nobody's turned away, and we work with folks to see if they maybe are eligible for, some healthcare coverage and which then, provides care beyond even Planned Parenthood's walls. So
where do you get your funding to provide?
Well, so we're a healthcare provider. Okay. So like all other healthcare providers, we get reimbursed via Medicaid. We get reimbursed from health insurance companies. And a lot of people, I'm going to emphasize that. I hear a lot of people say to me, "Oh, I'm so sad that I had to leave my provider because I got health insurance." It's like, "Oh no, you don't need, if you love your provider at Planned Parenthood and you have health insurance, we accept virtually every form of health insurance, that's out there, in Wisconsin." So the reimbursement for medical care, is the largest amount of work that we do. And so the largest amount of resources, and reimbursement we get. And then we also have incredibly, generous supporters as well. Yeah.
I'm thinking that.
Yeah.
So do you get any government funding then outside of the healthcare?
We do not.
There used to be.
Correct. We used to have, what was called Title V funding from the state. which was a state family planning program. And we used to have Title X funding from the federal government, which was the federal family planning program. We have received a few grants over the last few years to do COVID work, some COVID outreach. Our promotoras did a lot of Spanish language COVID outreach, for example. So we have received some government grants, but with regard to ongoing medical services, we do not receive Title V. The state of Wisconsin passed a law that would not allow Planned Parenthood to be eligible for Title V. And then between state law and federal laws, even though we had the Title X grant for about 40 years, four zero years. Planned Parenthood Wisconsin no longer has the Title X grant either. And in fact, the loss of the Title X grant is what we made a mission decision, because the majority of individuals who needed the resources that Title X provided were people who weren't eligible for any kind of insurance, Medicaid, any of those things. And mostly they were folks who had immigrated to Wisconsin. So we made a mission decision to start the Patient Access Fund.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did that funding get cut?
Well, so Title V, the state passed a law that made us ineligible.
And by name?
I don't know. I can't. But any organization that provides abortion or something, okay. I think is the language, right?
So it was the abortion.
It was the, yep.
And that they were going after.
Well, no, because there's no public dollars used
for
abortion services, right? So. So it was just another sort of chipping away. And Title X, the state passed a law requiring the state of Wisconsin to apply for the grant, even though they hadn't applied, before. So the Department of Health Services is now required to apply, and enacting that law also coincided with a gag rule that the Trump administration had put into place. So the two combined resulted in Planned Parenthood not being able to access those publicly funded family planning services. And again, I'll say it's those are all prevention services. So it's family planning, it's STD testing and treatment, it's cancer screening. So none of that had to do with abortion at all.
I got to thank you for what you do. And how long have you been doing this?
Oh, boy. Well, I just celebrated my 19th anniversary at Planned Parenthood, which time really flies when you're having fun. I started out as a community organizer, which is when we met.
Okay.
So I've had a variety of roles over the years. And then about 6 years ago, give or take a little bit, I threw my hat in the ring for the president and CEO role when my predecessor retired.
So 20 years, it's a tough job. And I, for those of us who really support your work, it's admirable what Planned Parenthood employees, associates have to put up with just to do your work. So I want to take a minute just to acknowledge that there's some of us out there, and I'm sure everybody here feels that way, that just thank you, Walk on Water, for taking it on for us.
Yeah, well,
we need that.
Thank you. Genuinely, really, really appreciate that on behalf of our team. They do work very hard and with passion. And we have a value at Planned Parenthood. We say in this together, and we genuinely believe that we're in this together. So everybody here, we're in it together, everybody on the team, volunteers, supporters, we believe in this movement. Everybody has their role. And we on the team, that's our role right now. And truly, the energy, the movement, the momentum, all of those things, just really surrounds the organization, surrounds the mission. So thank you for acknowledging the team. And I'd like to pass the acknowledgement back to all the supporters like you that we have across the state.
So the biggest issue facing women in the state of Wisconsin right now is the fact that we lost access to a safe and legal abortion when they overturned Roe v. Wade. And I'm not so sure people know enough about the details of that, like the 1849 law, what it really is about. So that would be one thing to cover for us and maybe answer some questions about what is it, what happened. And then the second one is what's happening to women since then?
I'll do like a high level view. And then if there's a piece you want, just stop me if you want me to dig in somewhere. So, when Roe fell, so Wisconsin has had a law on its book since 1849. The way the law was written, it was unclear whether or not that law was enforceable. And essentially the law referenced abortion and providers and providers or somebody who would facilitate an abortion, right? It was a felony. It was jail time. It was, you know, up to, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of fines. That's huge. Providers, that's their life. It's their freedom. It is their livelihood. It is their license. It is their calling. It is all of those things. Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin, along with, you know, all the other health systems, suspended abortion services, across the state of Wisconsin. There's a very narrow exception for life I can't remember exactly the language of the statute, but it was something to affect the life of the mother. Of course, we also say, you know, life of the pregnant person as well. But that's undefined, which really is not much of an exception. Suspended across the state. At Planned Parenthood Wisconsin, the team had already developed an operational infrastructure, knowing, you know, that this was likely, and especially after the leak, it's believe them when they tell you who they are. It developed an infrastructure to help women and people across the gender spectrum who need an abortion navigate to other states. They're patient navigators. And then also a number of people on the team started traveling to Illinois and working at the Planned Parenthood of Illinois Waukegan Health Center. And Wisconsin staff fully run the Waukegan Health Center one day a week on Thursdays. So the navigators, real briefly, they can do a lot to remove, they can help make appointments, anywhere in the country. It doesn't have to be Illinois. Most people are choosing to go to Illinois, but anywhere in the country, they can help not only provide resources for transportation, but set up transportation if that's needed. Hotels, all of the logistical things the navigators really can help with. We do encourage people who need an abortion to still make an appointment at Planned Parenthood Wisconsin, because the team can also do some of the advanced healthcare work. So dating a pregnancy, for example, because one of the unfortunate things we learned from Texas, or what we learned because of the unfortunate situation in Texas, was that about 20% of people who would travel to other states were sent back to their home state again, because when they got to the health center where they had Googled and made the appointment, they either had a medical condition like an ectopic pregnancy, so they, had to go be treated for the ectopic pregnancy, or they were maybe further along in their pregnancy than what that particular health center would provide an abortion for. So the team can date the pregnancy and then help refer to the right health center, again, anywhere in the country. So if somebody has a support system in, you know, New York, and that's where they need to go because they have a support system in New York, then the team can help somebody get there. What they can't do is remove the barriers that is life, you know, right? I mean, the team really tried to build the system around the individuals who might have the least agency to to move. Maybe people who might be in the criminal justice system, for example, right? And we learned a lot from the violence prevention community as well.
So people in the, break that down a little bit for me. The people in the criminal justice system cannot leave to go have an abortion?
No. I'm sorry. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what we learned also from is if we build a system around the people who are most marginalized, then it elevates all. Right.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that we did as much due diligence as possible. For example, understand from the violence prevention community, what might people need in order to safely leave the state, to access care. So that's what I meant is understanding from those systems. Correct. Yeah. What would be, you know, mechanisms that need to get put into place for people to safely leave the state.
So I try to have empathy, and that I'm thinking about a young woman maybe who has, for whatever reason, she wants an abortion for whatever reason, but she's got three children at home and she's got a job. And she just can't up and go to another state. Are you running into situations like that?
I mean, there are so many. We first say anybody who needs an abortion for exactly only their reason, right?
Yeah.
So if there's 20 people in a waiting room, there's 20 different reasons that somebody needs an abortion, and so the complexities of traveling are equally unique. Again, the navigators can help reduce some of those barriers if possible. You know, if for example, like somebody would lose pay for a day, they can help reduce, get the cost of the abortion reduced, you know, so to help offset that lost pay. So there's so many situations that people run into. And then there's a lot that we will never know about. And this is why I thank you for asking this question, because we really want to encourage people to contact the navigators. If you need an abortion, and have a conversation, and they can help. Yeah.
Well, that's a good reason also to give a donation to Planned Parenthood, because that directly will go back to the patients that might need services.
Yeah.
You know, it seems so removed sometimes from us that, you know, we need to hear the stories of what's happening. Now, some people, we're obviously in this position because a lot of people don't think a woman should have the right. So can you just, if someone asks, why should a woman have a right to an abortion?
I mean, you know,
that in your own terms.
I mean,
terms, and why should a woman have a right?
Well, I guess I would say abortion is healthcare, and, you know, people have a fundamental right to access healthcare. So because abortion is healthcare, people should.
Bottom line is it's a healthcare choice.
Bottom line, it is a healthcare decision. It's a healthcare decision that, you know, women and people across the gender spectrum should, need to be able to make, for themselves, with their medical provider, with people in their family, if they want to have those conversations. You know, the reality is, that the decision of whether or not to have a child is one of the most profound decisions somebody will ever make. And those are decisions to be made with family, right? With your own agency, sometimes with your physician, depending on what, you know, the circumstances. So abortion is healthcare, and people deserve to access that healthcare.
I've been a longtime member of the League of Women Voters, and I went online when I became the executive director for a couple of years there, and I looked the position we have against or for abortion and choice is stated, framed this way, which is the truth: a woman deserves a right to privacy in her healthcare choices. So you, as you said, it is a healthcare choice. And then, okay, so it is a healthcare choice. Does the government ever control healthcare choices? To some degree, sometimes it does. Not, I mean, when they're funding it, I suppose, but not when they're not. That's totally up to us.
I can't think of many statutes that are specific, and there probably are, right? I'm not a lawyer.
So freedom to choose is what this is all about.
Yeah. I mean, it is. And so it's all the things, right? It is freedom. You know, it's freedom to make, you know, it's freedom to choose, freedom to make that decision.
Our right to privacy.
It's all of those things, you know, and it is, pregnancy, you know, is very complex. And it is also, you know, it is also a health and safety issue as well. Again, people need an abortion for all of the reasons. And,
what are some of those reasons? Can we talk about those?
Bird on a Wire podcast will be right back after this. To listen to this and more uninterrupted, listen on the Civic Media app, available on Apple and Android.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. The white gunman in yesterday's shooting at a Dollar General store in Jacksonville, Florida, has been identified as 21-year-old Ryan Christopher Palmeter. Sheriff T.K. Waters says he left behind some writings.
Quite frankly, the diary of a madman. I mean, he was just completely irrational.
Palmeter killed three black people before killing himself. Three U.S. Marines have been killed and several injured when their Osprey helicopter crashed during a training exercise in Australia. Here's reporter Scott Maiman.
Australian officials are working with the U.S. Defence Force personnel as they reach out to family members and also start the probe into the cause of the crash.
Extreme heat in Texas is straining the power grid.
ERCOT, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, is calling on all residents and businesses to reduce electrical usage to ensure that rolling blackouts aren't necessary. The latest conservation appeal between 4 p.m. and 9 tonight.
CBS News Brief.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A passenger was shot on a Milwaukee County bus yesterday. WISN 12 reports the shooting near Capitol and Sherman Boulevard did happen on the bus, with two people involved in the altercation. A 41-year-old man was taken to the hospital with a wound to the shoulder. The corporate word is shrink, but to you and me, it's called theft. Pete Schwaba has more about the Waukesha County wordplay.
When leaders at the Menominee Falls-based Kohl's Corporation updated investors this week about a reduction in margins, the department store chain attributed part of the decline to what they call shrink. Kohl's, along with other retailers, have been addressing theft-related concerns, implementing measures such as securing products and hiring more staff. Kohl's earnings beat expectations in the second quarter, but profits were down 53% compared to a year ago.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Why choose Weikert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your Realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weikert-LakePoint.com. Weikert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripes Cast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Direct from the Dairy States, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Hi, this is Luann Bird, and you're listening to Bird on a Wire, where we are having conversations about hope, civility, and action. Thank you for listening on the Civic Media Network.
I mean, we can talk about them, but it really just depends on
everyone's
the individual, right?
Individual, yeah. Right.
So,
but for sure, we all have heard about rape, right?
Sure.
We've heard about failed birth control, lack of birth control.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they can't afford to have a child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The majority of people who get an abortion already have at least one child.
Okay. Wow. I wouldn't have known that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And then again, pregnancy is complex. So, you know, so there are, you know, Planned Parenthood Wisconsin received many referrals from people who had, whose pregnancies were, medically challenged for whatever reason. And if we think about,
something's wrong with the baby.
Something's wrong with, correct. Exactly. Yep. So, in vitro fertilization, our healthcare providers say abortion is the termination of a pregnancy for all the reasons, which includes sometimes with in vitro fertilization, there's a need to, terminate a pregnancy, especially if there's multiple pregnancies.
Okay.
Right. So it's all of those things, sometimes abusive relationships, really come into play as well, So it's
domestic
the reasons
violence,
you talked about.
Lots
it's
of things.
Yeah.
It's, there's lots of reasons.
There's
it's
lots
not
of
a
reasons.
Simple decision on anyone's part. It's
correct.
Not a, so tell me then, what, I lost my train of thought there. So should there be exceptions? That was something that I wrestled with, and that over time we saw lawmakers continuing to put exceptions and rules in. Like now you have to have an ultrasound before you can get the abortion, forcing women to have an invasive procedure. Like,
how
does that work?
So there's a couple of things, right? So the exceptions are, we've seen, lawmakers try to pass exceptions for rape or incest, for example. And the anti-violence community has been very clear that they oppose those exceptions. The reality is that each person's circumstance is unique, and they need to be able to
pause. Let's stop for just a minute here.
Silver alert.
I saw that on there.
Close by.
Okay, so this is right in Greenfield, just so you guys know.
Yeah, I saw it on the over when I was driving. They have
a
sign up. Yeah,
a
white man.
Did anyone's phone not signal just now that we're waiting on? Did everyone's phone get it?
Mine's in the car, so yeah.
Then it should. That's a very good idea.
Holy cow!
All right. So.
So we'll pick this up now because she can edit this part. I will take that.
So,
the beauty of the podcast. But we were talking about exceptions.
Exceptions, great. So there are exceptions. We've seen lawmakers try to pass exceptions. So, for example, exceptions for rape or exceptions for incest. And, the anti-violence community has been very clear that they oppose those exceptions. The reality is each person's circumstance is unique. And people need to be able to make that decision for themselves. So, you know, so exceptions still do not give people the agency they need to, you know, to make those decisions. So there were the exceptions. That's one. And then there was a second part to your question.
First of all, before we move the second part, the exceptions, if a woman's been raped, she doesn't often want to talk about that. They're just trying to get to live with that violence that happened to them. So why should a woman? It sort of grinds me when lawmakers say, oh yeah, that's the exception. Well, then how does it work at Planned Parenthood? If that is now okay, but nothing else is okay.
Well, that, I mean,
then you have to tell your story, right?
So there's two pieces of it, right? There's one is the right in front of us piece is, those exceptions typically require reporting. And there are a lot of reasons that that most women do not report. Most people who are sexually assaulted don't report. So there's that piece of it. And in many cases, it can be more dangerous to report. So that's one piece of it. The second piece is then we get into, worthiness and unworthiness. And who's worthy enough, whose circumstances are worthy enough to, access abortion and whose aren't, right? So it's an implicit judgment, on different reasons that people may need an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if somebody needs an abortion, they need an abortion. And it's critical that that is what people understand, is that people are not being judged for their reason for needing an abortion.
So when they walked into Planned Parenthood, was that question asked ever? Why? Or did you just service them? Right?
We people provided care. You know, of course, people share their stories. You know, if they want to, and that, you know, and if people don't want to share their stories, they also don't have to share their stories. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
I think people
it's healthcare.
Think
it's healthcare. It's
through.
Yeah.
Because when I knocked on doors, when I ran for public office this last time, I ran into very few people who, most people brought it up. It was a hot topic,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to see a woman's right to an abortion restored.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, oh yeah, especially for rape and incest, like that,
mm-hmm.
like that's a separate category.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think they understand the trauma. Separating them out like that sort of says it's okay for this group of women, but not okay for this group of women who may have different issues, but not exactly rape and incest, right? Mm-hmm. That judgment, mm-hmm. like you said, in order to get to the end of that is amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazingly sad, really.
Yeah.
So how do we get, in my own thinking, I used to think, well, maybe that's okay to have some exceptions. You know, you compromise just to get something done, but I wouldn't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I say every woman has a right to privacy. It's her body. It's her choice. Should there be exceptions after a certain amount of time? What do you think? Like 6 months? What if someone's about to deliver? Should that woman have a right?
Well, so that doesn't happen. Okay, so that doesn't happen.
First of all, it doesn't happen.
So that doesn't happen.
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about that. That is not a thing that happens, right?
Right.
So we need to dispel ourselves of all myth of, you know, abortion up until the day of birth. So that's not a thing that happens.
Doesn't happen.
And you know,
so what the
language, compromise, to me indicates that there's like a middle ground on people having agency over their own healthcare.
Right.
That there's a middle ground, that somehow there's a middle ground over that individual being able to make their own healthcare decisions. And that politicians, and organizations, you know, go into a room and say, well, there's a middle ground on people having bodily autonomy. There are medical protocols and laws in place regarding, you know, like pregnancies, right? And late, you know, and often, like pregnancy challenges aren't found until 20 weeks. So there are already, those sort of medical guardrails in place, it's more like medical protocols. Like those are already in place, you know, in the medical field. There's already, laws about, viability, right?
Explain that, the viability means if a,
if a fetus could,
can survive,
right?
Outside the womb.
Correct.
What happens?
Well, I mean, again, it depends on the individual, circumstances, but your question is about like, should there be time limits put on things,
right?
As like a political compromise,
right.
And to me, even the language compromise, and I've been asked this question a lot about compromise, right? So I've had a lot of time to think about it, and you know, so to me, even the language compromise, it sort of like denotes that there's two sides with equal.
Right.
Validity.
Value.
when the reality is, it's not about sides. Yeah. It is not about sides. It is about human beings in the world.
Human dignity,
bodily agency, and medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to stay in the medical lane and out of the political
right.
sphere.
Right.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine, having to police some of these laws. If you say it's only for rape and incest and someone has an abortion, and I mean, how are they ever going to know that and police that? I go back to what you said, though. It's a woman's choice. It's a woman's right at any point in their pregnancy. If something comes up, I know at one time.
So I want to be clear about at any point in the pregnancy, because that there are medical, like,
right.
There's like medical. So I don't want to. So I'm not saying at any point in the pregnancy, I'm saying that people need to be able to work with their physicians.
It shouldn't be banned is what you're saying. You shouldn't ban it after a certain number of weeks.
It should not be a political
right.
decision. Right?
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Shouldn't be a political decision.
It's got to be a private decision.
It's got to be a private decision between a woman and her physician.
And whoever.
Yeah.
Who is making that decision.
Correct.
Okay. So then the other question we talked about were some of the chipping away at how and when and all of that a woman mm-hmm. when the one that really bothered me was the forcing of an ultrasound
mm-hmm.
before you could get an abortion is mm-hmm. that still in place?
Well, so no abortions are being provided
not in
now
Wisconsin, but what?
And so the attorney general has a lawsuit moving now.
Tell us about that.
That essentially argues that this law is unenforceable for insert a lot of different reasons, right? And so if this lawsuit is successful, and indeed that law is not enforceable, the law from 1849, we became a state in 1848, what's one of our first things we need to take care of in 1849? That's the law.
Yeah.
Anyway, side note. Got quite the history here. So if that law is deemed unenforceable, then all of those other barriers and restrictions go right back into place. So in Wisconsin, so abortion will be legal if this is unenforceable, which we believe it is. And there's two ways. One is through the legislature for them to, you know, repeal the law, which they have not done and they will not do, our current legislature. And the second way is through the courts. So if the court says it's unenforceable, abortion will again be provided in Wisconsin. And all of those restrictions are back into place. And Wisconsin had some of the largest number of restrictions of any state in the country, pre-Roe falling. So glad you bring this up because, you know, as we think about the future, you know, abortion was legal in Wisconsin, but it wasn't always accessible. because of all of those exceptions or those restrictions. I mean, so it wasn't always accessible. And we know that, disproportionately inaccessible to, you know, people who, you know, may have limited financial resources, people who may have limited, you know, transportation resources, you know, rural women, and we also know, women of color, right? So there were, so in this moment, as the lawsuit continues to move forward, and people are thinking about, I mean, it is awful that Roe was overturned, absolutely awful. And that is now the reality that we live in. So we have to get abortion back in Wisconsin, and we have to do better.
We do, because didn't they have to close a bunch of clinics because they made them have to connect it to a hospital? I mean, one of the restrictions. I don't know that I understand it exactly.
Yeah, so a lawsuit struck that down.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good. And then the need for an ultrasound, that would come back into play.
Without a mechanism to remove those restrictions, those would all come back into play. So some of the more challenging ones for patients, having to turn the ultrasound screen toward the patient, no matter the person's circumstances, right? Having to turn the ultrasound screen.
Wait, they put that in?
Mm-hmm. It has to be turned toward the patient.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Now the patient can close their eyes if they want, but the staff have to turn the screen. The 24 hour waiting
period,
yeah? Right?
Oh that.
And it's never really 24 hours. I mean, I shouldn't say never. It's rare that it's only 24 hours between the individual's circumstances and their travel abilities and childcare and all those things.
Right.
The law also requires that, for medication abortion, the same physician who reads the state mandated script has to be the same physician who provides the medication. So most.
That's in case in the law here.
Correct. So you can imagine most physicians are fully practicing, have full OBGYN practices. And so to have physicians able to schedule exactly 24 hours from the time they read the script till the time they provide
these are things we don't think about.
Those are huge barriers for patients. So, you know, patients having to travel. And again, like you said, there are resources, when abortion is accessible back in Wisconsin again, those resources, there still will be resources that help with transportation and housing and all those things that was in place before, and able to expand it. And those barriers are all right back into place again.
So we'll get to the question of what can our listeners do? What can our audience do in a minute? But I do want to mention that, I often had to correct people that I am not pro-abortion, that I'm actually very pro-life. I just think the woman should have a choice. So language matters. Mm-hmm. And understanding that the difference between pro-abortion and pro-choice and mm-hmm. pro-life,
mm-hmm.
it's big to me. Do you find that as well?
Well, yeah, and I'm not trying to like hedge on the answer. I'm just going to say this. Like, it also depends on who the listener is, right?
That's true.
Because somebody say, I'm pro-abortion because I believe abortion should be accessible and legal, right? So it just depends on the conversation.
They could go that route.
Right. It depends on the conversation. Like they could proudly say, yes, because I think it should be legal and accessible, right?
So you're pro-abortion.
What I would say is I think that there's no individual or group that gets to own the language pro-life.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so.
Okay. I think we have to ask a few questions to get to the bottom of that when you're having a conversation with a person.
Yeah.
You know, do you think the government should really control a woman's body? Sometimes you have to just kind of ask it that way. Or do you think that the government should really control our healthcare choices? Or should we be able to make those?
Yeah, right.
Without having to consult with an attorney.
Right. And that's what we really encourage people, you know, to do is to have conversations. This is a topic that is so easy to devolve into debate, and nobody really wins a debate. You know, it's really important that we have conversations, because how we hear things might not, you know, it might not always be the way the person intended it to be said. Right. So, for example, there are people that say, the topic of abortion, I'm uncomfortable with that topic. So if somebody would stop there, somebody might hear that as, oh, you don't support abortion. Saying, like, tell me a little bit more about that. Well, I'm uncomfortable with that, and here's why. And I strongly believe that it needs to be safe and legal and accessible. So we want to have those conversations, so we're not shutting, so we're not only not shutting people down, but that we're recognizing that, oh, wow, okay, so we that is the thing that we share in common, is that abortion needs to be safe and legal and accessible to people. So,
the vast majority of people feel that way. 70-80%. A lot of them. There's
a lot. Yeah.
I ran into very few that were really, for biblical reasons, had their opinions. And I think we have to be respectful and civil about those conversations as well and not judgmental. But if the public good is going to be served, then we are, something's not right here. So what can we do if the majority of people feel this way? What can our listeners do? What could I be doing? Is there more we could be doing besides sending a donation to Planned Parenthood, which I just want to put another plug in for that. That always helps.
Yeah. So first of all, people are doing a lot, and I want to acknowledge that. People are activated in ways, after two decades I have never seen before. And it is so moving. I get emotional when I think about it. So I think it's really important that people hear that what you are doing is absolutely making a difference. It's making a difference, like, directly on the ground of, people engaging with each other, people knowing that their neighbor is also supportive, but we've never had that conversation before, but now we're having those conversations. People are voting, certainly, right? People are, having, I can't tell you how many house parties I've been to, not fundraising house parties, but small gatherings where people can have these conversations and learn more. There's like, I think how many emails that we've received about like a band would like to donate the door to Planned Parenthood, or somebody made these cookies to spread the word that this is an important topic, right? Like, people are bringing their full selves to this and providing their gifts and whatever that gift is, to this movement. So I want to say to all of those folks, keep it up. It really matters, and it's going to be a long road to get abortion back and to be better. How do we secure abortion access in Wisconsin, for generations to come? And how do we expand access so that people really can get to the care that they need? So keep it up. And, if you're like, I haven't engaged yet, great. Whenever you want to get engaged, there's a place for you. So ranging from, we genuinely believe that having conversations with your network is the most important thing that you can do. And it sounds simple, but I'm sure we all have some friends. It's like, I have my friends that I talk about this with all the time. Not my friends that we might play euchre together, I'm Southeast. Sorry. We might play sheepshead together. I grew up in the Southwest part of the state. The card games are regional. We might play sheepshead together, but we really haven't had that conversation. So it's not always as easy as it sounds.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. And it's like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of Local local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.